Christian, greetings to each one this morning. It's good to be here in the house of the Lord. Appreciated that song. It says, I often wonder that he can bear with me, enduring all my follies, and yet so gracious be. And then do I remember his grace is rich and free, and that he is so patient, because he so loves me. And I believe this expresses probably a lot of our feelings, and hopefully everyone, in the chorus where it says, forever at his feet I'll sit and wonder at the grace so large and free it found for me in heaven, a dwelling place. And I suppose we'll simply want to be like Mary, if we can just sit at the feet of Jesus and learn of him and listen to him, then we'll be completely satisfied. I'd like to look over into the fourth chapter of Philippians, if you'd like to turn with us this morning. Philippians, the fourth chapter. I wonder how many of us would be here this morning if immediately when we would come in to the sanctuary, there would be a big thing up here across the front. And here comes Stephen Burke in the door. It would read across there, all I'm thinking about, that my thoughts would just be exposed up there in front of everyone. You could glance up there. It's, oh, there's Robert Byler. Oh, this is what he's thinking about, you know. What's going to happen next week? What's he going to do this afternoon? And, you know, they have, they've come out with something that they say that, and I don't know if it's in the process right now, and it may be already taken, maybe already happening. They say that you won't have to use a mouse on a computer anymore. You won't have to use your finger on a finger pad, on a mouse pad. But that computer will be set up to where that you simply, it can actually follow your thoughts, what you want it to do. That's getting too much as far as I'm concerned. There's no telling what the thing would do if it saw my thoughts. Sometimes they're going this way and that way and other ways. But all kinds of things that are completely beyond our comprehension. This scripture tells us something about some one of the most important things in our lives. And I'd like to read here, starting in Philippians, the fourth chapter, beginning with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, and with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, now notice this, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Nevertheless, we have, notwithstanding, we have well done, and we did communicate. Ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. For I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. I believe we'll stop right there. Let's just bow our heads for prayer. Our Father, we come before the throne of grace this morning with gratefulness and thankfulness in our hearts for thy mercy to us. We're so thankful, Lord, that thou art the one that knows all about our thoughts, life. Let us know all about our inner being, Lord, our desires. Let us know all about the things that make us do what we do. And we pray that thou will help us this morning, that thou will help us to look to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of this old world. Help us, dear Father, to lean heavy upon thee and to walk carefully before thee. We just pray for thy help today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to look over into the book of James just for a little bit. And I turn to the book of James. I'd like to start here in the first chapter. We know that every one of us are faced with temptations every day, all around us, and the more that the enemy can throw at us, the better he likes it. And it's, but for the grace of God, we wouldn't be able to stand. We would not be able to stand. But thank the Lord for his grace, for his special help. And this lets us a little bit more in on what goes on within our thought life and within inside that nobody else sees. You can look at me this morning, and I can look at you, and I don't know what you're thinking. And you don't know what I'm thinking. Well, I guess we'd think, well, that's probably a good thing, though. We don't know each other's thoughts because, you know, sometimes we look at someone and we say, well, he said that, and I know why he said it. He was trying to give me, some people call it a backdoor message. He was trying to give me something and to say it in such a way that it wouldn't look too bad, but to make it really sharp and pointed and get the message right across to me. And I got it. And maybe we missed it completely. Maybe the person never even thought about us. Maybe he did. We don't know. Some of those things we have to leave in the hands of the Lord. Let's just read just a little bit here in the first chapter of James. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Now, how do you relate to that scripture? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. I don't know. For me, it's hard to count it joy when I fall into all different kinds of temptations. And they're all around us today. You can't pick up a book hardly and open it up, depending on what kinds of a newspaper or a magazine or whatever, but there's something that you'll be looking and you embarrassed and you turn the page quickly and hope nobody thought you was looking at whatever you happen to see there. Or you turn your computer on and everything comes up and it can be filtered and you can be accountable and all kinds of things. And yet something can come up that can be embarrassing. And it depends upon where we are and what we're doing. When those temptations come, whether we entertain them in our mind and let them have a little bit of room or a little bit of root, or we take another look or reread just a little bit more, you know, just for our own information or whatever, and then we wish we had never looked or read or anything. And it's all around us. All you have to do is walk down the street. And you almost need to keep your head looking down at the sidewalk. Because sin is all around us. It's like in the days of Noah, when men's thoughts were on evil continually. On evil continually. They wouldn't have wanted you to be able to have read, or maybe they wouldn't care anymore. It can be the what we would call the grossest sin. And they think that you need to accept their gross sin, and just accept it because that's the way they are. God does not accept sin. He can't look upon sin. And like the old songwriter said, sin will never enter there. It will stop you at the door. And sin starts inside here, our thoughts, our minds. And if we give it a little bit of allowance, then the end of it is death. And I guess I'm almost getting ahead of myself here. Let's just read down through this scripture. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Now here's another wonderful verse. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. And you remember that second verse up there said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. And there's another scripture says that resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Another scripture says that when the devil comes in like a flood, that God will raise up a standard against him. So God is on our side if we look to God. And when these temptations come thick and fast to us, divers temptations, then remember the scripture, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with sin, with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. The devil is still in the enticing business. And he knows our weakest link, and he knows how to entice us and make sin look so pretty. So he knows how to sugarcoat it. He knows how to cover up the hook, the barb, the thing that's hidden inside there that he's wanting you to bite down hard on, and just like a fisherman gives a little extra jerk and sets the hook in the fish's mouth, and then he's got his prey and he starts reeling it in. The devil, all he wants you to do is take the bite, and you think it looks so good, it looks so tasty, it looks like it is so appealing to the flesh. And yet, if we look close, we'd see the tip of that little hook, that little barb that is waiting to catch you, to catch me. And then all he has to do is sit back there and roll us in. And we can fight and struggle and do all we can. But unless the Lord helps us, we're captured. We're just waiting for what will be there when he gets us up on the bank and has all of his tools to take care of us, so to speak. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Right at first, if sin would presented itself to us, we would have turned our back on it. So no, we won't have anything to do with that. I don't do that kind of thing. I won't have anything to do with it. But the devil doesn't just take the old hook and get it out there and put it in front of you and say, bite, because you wouldn't bite. We need to be like the fish that I saw down on Bull Shoals one time. And I was out on what they call Point 13. And I was leaning over. I was just laying on a rock bluff looking down in the water, and big fish down there. And I loaded my hook up with some of the juiciest, I don't know what it was, whether it was a worm or whatever it was. And I dropped it right down there where the fish were. And I dropped it right down in front of them. And I wiggled it around and I moved it around. And you know those big old fish, they swam around. I don't know if they looked at my worm or not. But they just swam right on past it and went on over here. I'd try to dingle it in front of this one's face and over in front of them. What's wrong with those fish? Well, you know what? Evidently, they were full and they weren't hungry and they weren't tempted. I had something I thought was the very most enticing thing, but probably I wasn't as good a fisherman as what I should have been. Maybe if I'd have had some kind of a lure that I could have pulled through the water and it would have had a little jiggling motion to it and it would have got their attention and a rippling motion or something, that maybe without thinking they would have just hit that thing and a big bass would have come up out of the water. I don't know. But oh, if we can be so full spiritually, so satisfied on the things of God, on good books, on with good friends, with good fellowship, with the right things on our mind, that when the devil comes along with his little enticing things trying to draw us aside and just to get us caught on his hook, and he tries his very best to entice us, but by the grace of God, we're satisfied with what God has given us, and we want nothing of the world, nothing of the flesh, nothing of the devil. We want nothing to do with anything that looks like that it could have a hook in it, a barb in it, something that is going to catch us. Thank the Lord, we can be victorious Christians. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Maybe that thing is enticing us. Maybe it is getting our attention. And maybe we're thinking, well, I don't think there's any hook in there. It looks like, you know, you can take a worm or a night crawler and you can slip it up over the hook and push it up, clear up on the hook until that the hook is completely covered up and then a big piece of it hanging off the end. And it looks real enticing. At least I would think it would if I liked night crawlers. But, you know, if something looks suspicious, something looks like, now just wait a minute. I'm wondering if I should be looking at that. I'm wondering if I should be thinking about that. Oh, Lord, and we just pray that God will take that thing out of our mind, take it out of our thoughts, nothing to do with it. If it's going to destroy me spiritually, let it be gone. I want nothing to do with it. And I've learned my lesson. I won't go back and look at that book. I won't go back and talk to that person that wants to feed me that kind of garbage. And by the grace of God, when we're tempted and enticed, God can take us through and give us the victory. He says here, when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. If we think we can play with sin and not get burned, we're fooling ourselves. And if we think we can continue in our sin and live like the world for the devil, we're fooling ourselves. If you look over right quickly to Romans the 6th chapter, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? May the Lord find a tender conscience in every one of our hearts here this morning, that when he speaks to us and he deals with us about something that is causing us spiritual problems, that we listen carefully to the voice of the Holy Spirit, and that we don't allow those things to find root in our lives. Not one little root of bitterness, not one little thought of animosity or lust or anger or pride. But when it first shows itself, that by God's grace we fly to the foot of the cross, we fly to the place of prayer, and we cry out to God through the merits of his precious blood that he might defeat the devil and give us victory through Jesus. Let's kneel in prayer.
Our dear Father, as we come to thee this morning, we're so thankful for thy faithfulness to us. Oh, Father, we thank thee for thy patience and long-suffering. When we stumbled and faltered, and Lord, and yet thou hast had mercy upon us and called us and showed us our error and helped us to get the victory over the things that would destroy us spiritually. We're so thankful for the power in the blood. And we pray this morning that every one of us that are here today, by the grace of God, we shall endure temptation and through thy strength and through thy might be victorious Christians. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.